Good morning, church. Welcome to Worship Online this morning. It's great that we can worship together this morning. I would just like to encourage you, if this is your first time, to fill out the connect card and send it to us so that we can reach out to you and we can connect with you so that we can share with you who we are, what we do, what are some of the programs that we have, like Alpha Course or our children program online, the youth program online, or even our small group ministry. Allow us to share with you and connect you with one of our pastors. It's great that we can all worship together on Sunday morning through this online platform. I would like to share some announcements with you. So for the past few weeks, what we've been doing as a church is embark on this campaign, which is called the Reaching Out Campaign. So this campaign started from last year, where during the time of COVID, we saw that there's a lot of need out there. And we were thinking, how can we reach out? How can we help them? And so we thought we could use what God has given us, which is some financial means. So similarly, this month, this year, we are taking out the whole entire month of our offering to give out to the various nonprofit organizations. So I would like to encourage you to continue to keep this in your mind, to continue to pray about it. And you can see the progress that we have made so far, the amount that we have given. So I encourage you to continue to keep this at the forefront of your prayers, to continue to think about how you can reach out and how you can be a part of this campaign. Now, at the same time, I'd like to share with you some of the ministries that we have that's going on Sunday morning as well. For children ministry, we have our Kapos online starting at 9:30 all the way to 10:10. And the youth online, we go from 10 o'clock all the way to 11:15. And every single week, we have a group of leaders who will be dedicated, there to serve, there to share. And throughout this whole entire time, we are journeying together with the children and the youth just to grow together with them and to share with them who God is and how great God is. So I encourage you, if you have children from grade 1 to grade 5, fill up the form and then reach out to us, and we can connect with you and share more about this program with you. Or if you have a youth from grade 6 to grade 9, same thing, fill out the form and we can connect with you so that we can share with you what we are doing and how you can join us every single Sunday morning. Now, as we enter our time of worship, I want to share with you Psalms 150, just to keep in mind what it means to worship, the mindset that we have towards worship. So allow me to read that to you. Psalms 150, this is what it says: Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let us keep that in mind this morning as we worship. So let us rise and let us pray. Lord, we want to give thanks for who You are and that Your love that You have given us, and it's Your love that causes us to be generous. So Father, I pray that this morning as we prepare our hearts to listen to the message You have given us, I pray that we can receive the message and to put that into our hearts and put that into our lives. Father, I pray that You'll bless the time together as we worship You and allow us to hear Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us rise and let us worship together.
compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a savior, the hope of nations. You find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the of Christ passed down through generations, the Son of God teaching us to pray. Echo words, Father, have your will, your way in me completely. We wholly trust your faithful provision, amazing grace, mercy for our sins.
the everlasting God, the mighty Savior and our Deliverer. You are trustworthy, faithful, merciful, and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. May you be glorified. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Church, please be seated.
In a world emphasizing individualism, we are greatly influenced by the idea of survival of the fittest. We all do whatever is best for ourselves alone. We compete with others, no matter what life stages we are in. From where I come from, Hong Kong is a very competitive place, to a point where even kids need to compete for the best kindergartens. Parents will line up the night before outside their favorite kindergarten so that they are first to apply for their kids. Kids need to go for training so that they can perform in excellence in front of the interviewers. But they are just kids. They should be learning the world in a playful way. I remember when I was studying in kindergarten in Canada, we usually just listen to stories and play with toys that teach us how to count or teach us vocabulary. But this is not enough for an increasingly competitive world anymore. When we walk into a bookstore, we'll find a lot of self-help books lying around. We are reminded all the time and everywhere that we need to improve because this is the only way we can survive in this world. I recall seeing an advertisement which shows a game app that stresses how the game makes even your rest time informative and how it keeps your mind sharp. In this world, if we can keep up, we are a survivor. If we cannot, then it is our fault and we deserve to be eliminated. This is a world value that we, even as Christians, are greatly influenced by. Therefore, it slowly creates a world that does not promote helping others. Because helping others, in a sense, is increasing the overall competition. I recall there was a classmate back in my school days that was really good at all his exams and tests. But when others start to ask him for help, he will always either turn them down or completely ignore them. He will only join conversations that are not related to classes or exams. Why does he do so? I had a chance to hear him share after many years, and he said that it was because he feared that if he helped someone, that someone will outperform him one day. This way of thinking is clearly not limited to school, but is also found in office politics and other areas. All of these things lead to a phenomenon that is, only if there is benefit will one help the other. If not, we won't even lift our fingers. So this brings us to a question. Can Christians and should Christians help others generously and kindly in a time like this? Last week, Pastor Craig talked about Ruth refusing to abandon Naomi after she tried to send her two daughters-in-law away. Ruth accompanied Naomi back to Israel, a foreign place for Ruth the Moabite. Although from the narrative, we see no interference by God through speech or action, Pastor Craig pointed out that the companionship Ruth gave to Naomi during hardship revealed to us that God never left the scene. In fact, he was with Naomi every step of the way and intended to show her his kindness and companionship through Ruth during a tough and lonely time. Pastor Craig's sermon left us on a cliffhanger. where Ruth volunteered to go to a field and glean among the ears of the grain wherever she can find favor from its owner. She eventually arrived at a field and started gleaning. The narrative stresses the coincidence by saying, as it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. So what happened next? As Ruth was working hard in the field, picking up grains that were dropped on the ground, Boaz happened to have just come by the field, and he saw there was a stranger in it. So he asked the servant who was in charge of all the reapers who that woman was. And his servant told him that she was Rahab, a Moabite, who left her home country and came with Naomi to Israel. She asked it for help and wanted to pick up the leftover grain for Naomi and herself. So Boaz, after hearing all of this, was very impressed by Ruth's sacrifice for Naomi. So he decided to help her. And you will be amazed by how much he did. First, he went up and told her that she's always welcome to the field. He told her that she doesn't need to go to other fields to glean and can just stay close behind the female servants and glean as much as she wants. But Boaz didn't stop there. He didn't just give her what she requested, but also considered what she needed. He then reassured her safety by ordering all the young men working in the field to stay away from her. He knows he will get thirsty at some point while working, so he told her to just drink from the vessels filled with water drawn by his servants. She didn't even need to draw water from the well herself. He knows that she was angry, tired, and exhausted after working for such a long time. So he invited her to join the servants' table and eat with them during mealtime. He even allowed her to do takeout so that she can bring some food back home to Naomi. If you think that's already a lot, Boaz doesn't think so. After all this, Boaz packed an extra few bags of parched grains, which are like roasted grains ready to eat, for her to take home to enjoy with Naomi. He also secretly ordered all his reapers to intentionally leave more grains on the ground for her to pick up. Ruth and Naomi were astonished by Boaz and what he did, especially because Boaz is not just rich and generous and kind, but also, coincidentally, he is a relative of Naomi. I don't know about you, but after seeing the story's development, I am so interested to know more about Boaz, who is extremely generous and definitely a gentleman. There seems to be more to him that we can learn about, which might be able to shed light on our query about whether to help others or not. Let's start by reviewing who this Boaz is. As we can see at the beginning of chapter 2, Boaz was a relative of her husband's, which means he is a relative of Naomi. As a relative, Boaz seems to be more than willing to lend a helping hand to Ruth. We see that he allows Ruth to stay in the field to glean behind a young woman. He welcomes Ruth to sit among his servants to eat and regain strength after some hard work. He even orders this young man to intentionally pull a handful of the bundles of grain and leave them for Ruth to pick up. The other thing we know about Boaz is that he is a worthy man. This translation by ESV is quite ambiguous. As we see from NASB and NRSV versions, one translated the Hebrew words as a man of great wealth, and the other translated as a prominent rich man. I think from these translations, we are safe to deduce that Boaz is a rich man with a certain degree of social status. We see this from the fact that he has a lot of servants, including young men and women, and he also has his own fields. For sure, he has a lot he can offer to Ruth. At this point, you might be thinking, he's rich, he's a relative of Naomi. Of course, it's normal for him to be kind and generous to Ruth. He should be doing so, given a person with his status. But is that really true? Are people really always generous and kind when they are rich and related in blood? If we read a little further, we will know that this is not true already. I don't want to spoil too much for the next sermon, but I just want to point out that there actually is another relative of Naomi, and his lineage with Naomi's family is even closer than that of Boaz. That relative is also a rich man. But eventually, he was not willing to help Ruth and Naomi. So clearly, there is more to Boaz than just being rich and related in blood. What is special about Boaz then? As the book of Judges tells us, he is living in a dark and godless time where most Israelites forgot about God and did whatever they felt was good for them. He is living in a time when a group of Benjaminites raped a Levite's concubine, when a guy named Micah stole from his mom but was then praised by her, when there were murders, genocide, and civil war. Israelites were involved in countless evil deeds and worshipped foreign gods, including Baal and Asherah. Yet, Boaz remained to be an Israelite who has not forgotten the God. And that is what makes him special. How do we know that? Let's look at Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, which is the conversation between Ruth and Boaz, where she showed a great appreciation to Boaz's generosity. Here it says, "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" As we just read from verse 12, Boaz's response demonstrates his knowledge of God as he mentioned, "under whose wings you," referring to Ruth, "have come for refuge." The imagery of God spreading out his wings to protect whoever comes under them is prominent in other books of the Bible, mainly the Psalms and Exodus. It always refers to God's protection to ones that are faithful to him. When we especially look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Song of Moses, this imagery recalls how God brought the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt and protected them in their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Moses sang and taught the Israelites this song to warn them and their successive generations not to forget God, for there will be grave consequences. But obviously, they did. Yet, Boaz seemed to be an exception, where he did not forget God. What makes him even more special is not just that he still believes in God in such a dark and godless time, but he also lived out his faith with solid action. Because he acknowledges and respects Ruth's sacrifice for Naomi, he showed it the same kindness and generosity to Ruth as she had to Naomi. What needs to be highlighted here is Boaz's obedience towards God's command through asking Ruth to stay in his field and take all that had been left on the ground. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 and 22, God commands the Israelites as follows: when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all your work of your hands. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. Clearly, Boaz is doing all of this not just because he's rich or he is a relative of Naomi, but because he is obedient to God. He is a true Israelite. In this sense, we can also see that Boaz is doing more than what God required and commanded. When he asked that his servants to purposefully drop more grains on the ground for Ruth to pick up, and when he invited her to sit among the reapers to enjoy the food prepared for them originally. All this shows how Boaz is a true Israelite who believes in God and knows him well. According to Exodus chapter 22, verses 21 to 23, God commands the Israelites that you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. Boaz remembers his ancestral origin. Boaz remembers the suffering that the Israelites experienced in Egypt. He remembers how God delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians and protected them during their wandering in the wilderness. Boaz remembers God, and he chooses to live in a way that reflects his faith to God. What about us? Are we like Boaz? Or are we like the godless Israelites? As mentioned in the beginning of this sermon, we also live in a dark and godless time where people do whatever is best for themselves. Everyone cares only for themselves, and people are only willing to help others if they are benefited. Many of us in Koinonia, including myself, are nowhere close to being poor. Many of us live in abundance. We do not have concerns in lacking any daily needs. We don't worry about if we have food to eat the next day. We rather only worry about what we want to eat tomorrow. We don't worry about having not enough clothes to keep warm, but we rather only worry about what we should choose to wear tomorrow. We are like Boaz in this sense, blessed with resources from the Lord. But are we like Boaz in the sense that we remember God and live according to God's command? Do we give generously because we acknowledge what God has given us? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 18, it says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." It is normal to think that we deserve the wealth we have because we worked so hard for it. That is partly true and undeniable. However, we also have to acknowledge that there are many other factors that led to where we are now. These factors are not things that we can control, such as good timing in investment, good timing in selling and buying properties, good health that allows us to work hard, good colleagues and bosses that we met on our way. These are not coincidences in our life. Just like Ruth's encounter with Boaz, it is God who blessed us with all these opportunities. God's wings are over us, whom we chose to come under in the first place. So we should not forget our origin. We should not forget how God was the one who allowed all these things to happen in our lives. Therefore, we should be generous and ready to share. We shall not be like a godless Israelite. We shall not be like a godless Israelite who saves up riches in hope that we can secure our future. One of the passages that comes to mind is what Jesus reminds us during the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." All that we have is from God. What He gives, He can also take away. Nothing we own in this world can be kept forever. We must remember that only in God can we find the ultimate security. Therefore, we can and should be generous because we trust God. We shall also not be like a godless Israelite who might have fragments of memory about God and His commands, but decided not to obey them because we either don't care at all or we think that someone else can do it. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 16 addresses such kinds of people. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can the faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Imagine we are the ones desperately in need. And when we ask for help from a friend, he only tells us that he will pray for us and then ask us to leave. How would you feel? How would you think about that person? Therefore, one cannot claim to have faith in God without having the corresponding actions that demonstrate such faith. James reminds us that faith and our deeds are interconnected. We cannot just say we believe in God, but shows no interest in obeying His commands. There must be solid actions, not mere words. Showing generosity is not just acknowledging that there are people in need in this world, but to take a step further and help the needy in practical ways. Therefore, the question I ask myself would be, who do I want to be? Like Boaz or like the godless Israelites? I hope we all have the same answer, and that is Boaz. Because if we don't care for the needy like Boaz did, we are only like the godless Israelites. A true Israelite, or in modern times, a true Christian, is one who is willing to show immense kindness and generosity to the needy, helping them in a time of needs, because he or she remembers God and His blessings and knows and obeys His commands. So if we want to be like Boaz, what can we do then? In a general sense, we should be attentive to the needs of others, especially the marginalized. We should not stop at the acknowledgement phase, but deal kindly and generously to the needy. This generosity has three natures. First, this generosity is giving not just the bare minimum, but giving more than what we need to. Remember, Boaz did not need to ask the young man to intentionally leave more grain for Ruth according to the law. But out of his true obedience, he did more than it was required. Second, this generosity is giving not just what people ask for, but considering what they need. Like Boaz, he saw how tired Ruth is in gleaning grains in the fields, so he invited her to join the reapers in eating and drinking from the vessels to regain her strength. Third and lastly, This generosity is giving without asking for anything in return. As we can see, Boaz never asked anything in return from Ruth. There's no material gain for Boaz in helping Ruth. So who are the ones in need right now then? Of course, the first groups of people we may think about are our family, relatives, and friends. We definitely need to be kind and generous to them in their time of needs. As most of us are Asians, family is especially emphasized in our culture. This, I think, is a good value we should treasure. But sometimes it may also become a snare to us. We must not let this cultural value limit us from caring for others outside these social circles. So except for family and friends, who else can we care for that is in need? One of the examples is to care about the wave of new immigrants that are coming into Canada from Hong Kong. As we may have heard from the news, we know that Hong Kong has been experiencing a lot of political changes lately. The political instability in the last few years have caused many Hong Kong people to leave the place for good and try to start anew somewhere abroad. People are immigrating to Taiwan, England, Australia, Canada. Lately, the Canadian government also responded to the situation by opening more immigration pathways to Hong Kong people. This, of course, will attract more people to come to Vancouver. We're particularly suitable in caring for these people because we or our parents were also once new immigrants. Therefore, as we look back into our origin, remembering how God protected us through the hardships in blending into a foreign land, now is a time to help those who will be facing the same challenges. We can do a lot of things to help. As someone studying abroad in Vancouver, I do not know a lot of people when I first came here. However, God allowed me to meet a lot of generous and kind people throughout these 3 years of studies. I recall the numerous times when I was given a ride back home because it was getting late and I didn't know how to drive. Because I can't drive, and because it's COVID, there were two brothers who kindly offered to drive by my house to hand me the materials for kapos and youth worship every month. I also made two new friends through my parents' connections, and they made delicious Hong Kong dishes for me all the time so that I don't miss Hong Kong so badly. In the previous church that I attended, brothers and sisters in the small group would invite me occasionally to hiking and meals. It made me feel welcomed and accepted. As I look back now, I'm so grateful to all these people. Some might not think they have done a lot, but to me, all of their acts were great acts of generosity and kindness. I can get through all the tough times because they were willing to lend a helping hand in my time of needs. These are only the few examples. There are, in fact, so much more that I have experienced. I'm sure that there are a lot more ways we can offer help to new immigrants in their time of needs too. And in fact, as we care for these new immigrants, we're not just helping their physical needs, but also their spiritual needs. I'm sure that there is a lot more ways we can offer help to new immigrants in their time of needs. And in fact, as we care for these new immigrants, we are not just helping their physical needs, but their spiritual needs also, as we are showing them who the God we believe in is. We will become a testimony for God. Another concrete thing we can do is to participate in our church's reaching out campaign. As a church that hopes to testify God through kindness and generosity in our community, the main goal of this campaign is to financially support charitable and missional organizations, including Compassion Canada, Union Gospel Mission, Richmond Hospital Foundation, and Richmond Food Banks. Compassion Canada is one of the world's leading child development organizations. In partnering with the local church in 25 countries, it aims to end poverty in the lives of children and their families. As for Union Gospel Mission, it aims to tackle social problems, including poverty, homelessness, and addictions. According to the annual review in 2020, they provided almost 290,000 meals, distributed 5,500 plus clothings, and 2,100 plus hygiene kits and more to the needy. As for Richmond Hospital Foundation, it has an ongoing relationship with our church. We know that they are lately planning to build a new wing for the hospital. The expansion will allow the hospital to provide more medical help to the Richmond community. Richmond Food Bank also is working hard to help the needy in the society. It is supporting over 2,200 people in need in the community. Every week, it gives out 20,000 pounds of food. More than half of the people it serves are temporary users who are suffering through a crisis. 32% of the needy are children, 30% have cost of living concerns, 15% are long-term users with multiple barriers to employment, including chronic illness, mental health problems, or disabilities. There are also around 4% that does not even have a house to live in. As we can see, these organizations are trying very hard to encourage us to care for the people in need in our community. So by participating in this campaign, we are demonstrating our faith in God through generosity and kindness. In this dark and godless time, we don't need to compromise with its values. Boaz demonstrated how a true Israelite can still remember God, obey His commands diligently, and help others with generosity and kindness. In the same way, we can still be true Christians in this dark and godless time. We can do so by remembering God and obeying His commands by showing generosity and kindness to the people in a time of needs. This is because we know that everything is from God, and God is our ultimate security. Being a Christian means being generous. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all that you have given us. Help us to not forget you and also forget all your commands. Help us to be a true Israelite or a true Christian, that we may meditate your commands day and night and obey them with solid actions. Lord, we give praise to all that you have given us, and teach us to be generous and kind to the needy living around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my Slow. Open our eyes so that we can see what you see. Open our hearts. Help us to be generous givers. Open our ears. Let us hear your call and respond to you and say, Lord, here I am. I'm available to be the light of the world. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as we come to the end of today's worship, I would like to lead everyone in the generosity declaration. This is to help us to understand why are we giving and what are we giving. So let's read this out together. Blessed are you, Lord, for all that is in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Riches and honor come from you. Your hands have built us up and made us strong. All things have come from you. We can only give what was yours in the first place. For we are strangers and wanderers before you. We brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of it. You have taught us not to be haughty nor to set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Instead, we ought to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. When we see a neighbor in need and have the means to help, yet turn away and do nothing, how can we claim to have God's love in us? Let us therefore not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let us give what we have decided in our heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. May He make all grace abound to us, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, we may abound in every good work. Amen. So, for the generosity campaign, reaching out campaign, you can go on to our website. You can find out that on mykac.ca, there are different ways to give. You can use check, PayPal, credit card. It's the same way that you have been giving for offering. So you could go over there and use the best method that you can. And let us rise and open our hands in a gesture of receiving and allow me to bless you with Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 to 19. For this is what the Bible says, so that I pray God will dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love and may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and depth and length and height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. And I pray that with that, we will go out and to reach out and to be generous. So I pray that you have a good week ahead, and I'll see you next week for worship.